I'd also like to extend a Christian greeting to each one this morning in the precious name of Jesus. It indeed has been a blessing and a pleasure to be here this morning. Thank you, Mike, for those thoughts on brotherhood. Certainly, I have room to grow. Well, it came a bit of a shock this morning, and yet not really. We heard the news that Sister Rachel passed. Stopped in on the way up to church here this morning and spent a little time with some of the family, and the testimony was that she went very, very peacefully. Tremendous blessing. We're going to miss her. So God be with you, the King family, and in this time of parting and sorrow, our thoughts and prayers are with you. Title of the message this morning is In Need of Grace. We feel that at times like this especially, but there's many other times that we as God's people, as Christians, need grace. And we'd like to look at a few instances in Scripture, and I am sure you'll be able to fill in some stories and think about some things that took place in your life and in the lives of others where grace was needed. Grace was supplied. Grace was such a blessing. Thought I'd just read a few verses and I'd invite you to listen in. Titus 2:11 says, For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Titus 3:7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. There's tremendous riches in God's grace. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 1:14, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. There have been various definitions given of the word grace. Here is one that encompasses a lot of what grace is, I believe. It is free and unmerited favor of God as manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings. Free and unmerited favor of God shown or manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings. So salvation, blessings, free and unmerited favor of God is what grace is. Grace in time of need. Grace has been defined as the strength that God gives to do what's right. And definitely, certainly, we have a need of grace in our day, today. Grace. In need of grace. There are some things that need to take place. Firstly, to be able to experience the grace of God. And I'd like for you to turn with me back to the Old Testament, to the book of Isaiah and chapter 6. And here we find I believe what is needed for us to experience the grace of God, as the prophet Isaiah did here in chapter 6. God's grace is abundant. It is sufficient. There is enough there for everything, anything that comes our way. God's grace is there for his people. He offers it to us. And we are to be partakers of his grace. As Christians, we have experienced the grace that's been offered to us by God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we enjoy enjoy the blessings of that salvation. That is God's grace. But as we continue on in life, there are things that we face. There are situations that we experience. There are places we find ourselves in. And God's grace is there for those times and places. I believe, though, that we must needs have an attitude conducive to God's grace being able to manifest itself, to be in us, first of all, and then to work itself out in those situations we find ourselves in. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go, and tell these people. And I'm going to stop there for this morning. I believe that the prophet Isaiah saw his personal need, as he was in the presence of Almighty God. And he realized that he needs help. He realized that he was a sinful person, a sinful man. He realized that there was nothing he could do about it. But God solved that problem and came and cleansed him and filled him with himself. And because of what happened there, the prophet Isaiah was willing to be used by God. And because of what happened there, God could use him, whereas before he could not. I believe that's what needs to happen to us, for us to be able to experience the grace of God. I have a number of scriptures I'd like to read this morning. And I believe these scriptures show us some things about God's grace and the need that we have for that grace. And I'd like to invite you to turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, St. Luke chapter 7. As we think about the title, In Need of Grace. I'd like to read Luke chapter 7. And verses 36 through 50. And here we have a story that's a bit startling, and yet it's such a beautiful story. Let's read, starting from verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spoke within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have something somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. They that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. In need of grace. Here was a person, a woman, who needed grace. A Pharisee by the name of Simon had given Jesus an invitation to come and eat at his house, and Jesus accepted the invitation. And as they went and were seated in Simon's house, there was this woman who heard about it and apparently had heard about Jesus as well. I don't know where she was in her spiritual journey. It doesn't give us a lot of information here. But from her response to Jesus and her actions toward Jesus, I believe that Jesus was working in her heart and had already done a work in her heart. She had seen her need of Jesus. She had realized, I'm sure she knew as well as anybody else, maybe better than anybody else, that she was a sinner. And when she heard that Jesus was in Simon's house, she brought a box, an alabaster box of ointment. She stood at his feet, weeping. Just picture this scene. She stood at his feet weeping. Blessed are those that mourn. They shall see God. She stood at his feet, realizing her need, knowing her need, weeping, and washing his feet with the tears flowing from her eyes. Sobbing, drying his feet with her hair, kissing his feet, and then anointed his feet with the ointment that she had brought with her. Faith and repentance and the bestowing of grace go hand in hand. All the while this was taking place, Simon was watching, thinking. If this man really is a prophet, then he would know who's touching her, who's touching him. He was thinking. And Jesus answered him. Jesus, God, the giver of grace, understood the thoughts that Simon had in his heart, in his mind, even though he didn't, it seems he didn't speak them aloud. He was thinking this man was a prophet. And Jesus answered him, answered his thoughts. He said, Simon, there was a man, a creditor, who loaned two men money. One he loaned 500 pence, the other 50. And neither of them could pay. Neither could pay the loan back. Both were debtors. Both were in trouble. They had a debt they couldn't pay. And because they couldn't pay, there was grace needed to clear the record. And because they couldn't pay, and their creditor had mercy in his heart, he frankly forgave them both. Now, Simon, Jesus said, who do you think will love the creditor the most? And Simon said, I suppose the one who was forgiven the most. And Jesus said, you are right. That's exactly the way it is. Then he went on to tell Simon, look, Simon. And he didn't say it in these words, but this is what Simon was thinking, I'm sure. And this may have been what Jesus was thinking as well. Simon, I came into your house. You didn't give me any water to wash my feet with, as was the custom in those days. This is what a host would do for his guests. This woman has been washing my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. You didn't even greet me, as is customary, with a kiss, but this woman, since the time I came, has been kissing my feet. You didn't anoint my head with oil. This woman is anointing my feet with ointment. And so I say unto you, Simon, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Then he said to the woman, can you imagine the thoughts going through her mind? Here was a woman who was an outcast, who was looked down upon because of the type of lifestyle she had been living, the sins she had committed. She was an outcast. People looked down on her. People didn't want to be around her. People didn't want her to touch them. And Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. I'm giving you grace. And certainly this woman needed grace. She was in need of the grace of God in her life. And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. In need of grace. You know, we may not be living immoral lives. Maybe sometimes we're a bit too much like the Pharisee who has not been forgiven as much as some of these people, for sure. And so we tend to get into the rut of looking down on other people and thinking we know what they need, for sure. And for sure they need God's grace. But certainly we need it as well. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. all are under condemnation of that sin, because of that sin, in need of grace. By grace are ye saved through faith. Grace comes by faith. Faith in our hearts will produce an attitude of repentance. We see that in this woman. It also produces a grateful spirit and a sense of unworthiness. We see that in this lady as well. And we see that in the prophet Isaiah, a sense of unworthiness before God, and yet a sense of gratefulness for what he's done for us. We are in need of grace. Individually and as a church, we need God's grace poured into our lives and upon us as we endeavor to, as Mike reminded this morning, live as brothers and sisters. Experience the brotherhood that God wants us to experience. Now, we're keenly aware of the need that the King family has for grace this morning. There are others of you who have experienced deaths in the past week as well, and you know the need of that grace. And I'm sure there are things that you are facing as individuals, and maybe as families this morning, that I know nothing about. And you're sensing a need of that grace as well. I'd like to assure you, affirm what you already know about God's grace, and that is available. It is there. It is there for you today. It is there for God's people. Everywhere, all the time. If we go back just a few verses, you're still chapter 7 in Luke there, we find another situation where God's grace was poured out in a very different way. Verses 11 through 15. Came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, "Weep not." And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. He delivered him to his mother. Now the situation where God's grace was poured into a situation, administered healing, brought life. Then I had to think about a little happening that took place back in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 3. I'll just read it to you. Unless you like to turn, you may. Here there were three young men in need of grace. And they were in a very, very difficult situation. They were living in a foreign country, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in a place that didn't know so much about God and had their own gods, and actually had a ruler who was had a very big ego. He made himself a or had a statue made of himself, and then got all the important people together to worship this statue. And this was a, just imagine what it may have looked like, and how it may have felt to be there. Just all kinds of noise, and it was in a great plain. It had this statue that was, I think, almost 200 feet high in the center of this plain. And at the sound of all kinds of music, everyone was supposed to fall on their faces and worship this idol. An idol, an image of the king. And these men were, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were there because they needed to be. They had to be, I think. They were important men in Babylon. And so they were there, I am sure, with a certain amount of apprehension and maybe even fear in their hearts about what was going to happen and how this. They knew their king. They knew he was a man with a temper. They knew he was not to be played with. They knew he had a big ego. They knew that they could make him very angry if they didn't do what he said. And yet these men were there, and at the sound of the music, everyone fell on their faces and worshipped the image except for them. And so there they were, like sticking out like sore thumbs in the middle of that huge plain of people on their faces worshipping that image. And soon word got to the king. And we find that in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 12. The report that came to the king was that there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at that time ye hear the sound of all those kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hose, their hats, their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Can you imagine? In need of grace. Here were men who put their lives on the line for the Lord Jesus Christ, and it cost them. Now God intervened in a mighty way, and I should just continue reading there, I think. I was going to stop there, but it just doesn't quite fit. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these three men fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. The princes, governors, captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their heads singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. And so sometimes things turn out. Sometimes things have a favorable outcome, like we, in our definition of favorable at least. And other times they don't quite. In all those situations, there is need of grace. There is need of seeing ourselves in need of God. There is need of us seeing ourselves undone before God. Realizing that there's no good thing that will happen or take place or no good outcome unless God is in it. Whether it turns out good or not so good, God's grace is there to turn that situation into something that will bring grace, will bring glory and honor to his name, and will be to our benefit. This morning, I'd just like to wish you the grace of God. Whatever situation you may be facing, wherever you are right now, know that God's grace is there for you. And know that you need it. You need God's grace. Apart from God's grace, we would not be able to exist as Christians. But with it, we can be overcomers and conquerors in the name of Jesus, by the grace of God. Let's keep our focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's be willing to acknowledge our need, to acknowledge our sin, to turn in repentance, to acknowledge the fact that we need the Lord Jesus to be faithful. We need his grace to do what's right. May that be our experience. Let's kneel for a word of prayer.